Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're here on location at the Minnesota State Fair recording live from the Great Minnesota Get-Together. My co-host today is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay. Commissioner, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Yeah, glad that you're here. And, you know, here we are, another year at the State Fair. What's the MDVA doing out here this year?
Well, as always, we have staff out at the Education Building the entire time of the fair from 9 to 5 every day. They're providing information to veterans and family members on benefits and services they may be entitled to.
I'm told if you go out there, just listen for the clicking of the big wheel, and that's how you'll find them.
Yes, new item introduced this year is the prize wheel, which you'll have to answer some questions and see if you can get our best swag or just a pen.
Perfect. Well, sometimes those pens are all right.
Yes.
What else is the MDVA doing?
Well, we also, of course, here in the Dan Patch area, where we've got the main Military Appreciation Day, we have a table as well, and we have that staffed with our HR folks because we are looking for employees all across the agency, especially in our veterans' homes. So stop on by, and we'll get you a job if you need one.
And we're going to talk to some of the about career opportunities a little bit later on in today's show.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we want to get to something that we haven't had on the show before, and that's this thing called Project Delta. And we have Alec Robinson here, who's the co-founder and the chief marketing officer for Project Delta. Alec, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well,
it's good to see you. It's been a few weeks.
It has been, yeah. We were together for another event, and we got to talking, and you were telling me about Project Delta, and I said, I got to get you on Minnesota Military Radio. And it's great that you're on this show with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, because one of the things that, Commissioner, I know, you know, as the mission says for the MDVA, is we're taking care of those service members and those families. And Project Delta is something that can help with some of that care. So,
absolutely.
Alec, if you wouldn't mind, just give us a little bit of the history and kind of how it got started.
Yeah, so overall, we're Project Delta. We pair veterans and first responders with service animals. We do the training 100% from Project Delta, and within the past few years, we brought in first responders, but our newest development actually is because we've just seen the need within the police departments. Is a little over a year ago, we placed our first full-time facility dog within the Minnetonka Police Department. So they have one of our dogs over there that is taking a proactive approach to substance abuse, suicide, everything like that, just to kind of bring cortisol levels down within the police department at all times. So he hangs out there. His name's Samson. He's absolutely incredible. But in the idea overall came up in 2015. My family is just, to say dog nuts would be an absolute understatement. My mother is, her father was a World War II vet with the Marine Corps, Bronze Star recipient, along with two Purple Hearts. My father served in the Army Reserves. I served in the Marine Corps. So we have deep family roots within the military. Match that with the love of dogs and just seeing just within a family how much a dog can just affect our overall health, wellness, and just life. We knew that there was something there, and we knew there was a lot of programs out there that do service dogs, but we wanted to take a little bit of a different approach to it. A lot of the times you can get a service dog, you can pay for a service dog or get a grant for a service dog and someone presents you that service dog, but a little counterintuitive we thought on our part because it doesn't directly help the exact needs of the veteran or first responder. So that's where we wanted to change things and bring this veterans, first responders, and dogs together to match the exact needs that those veterans or first responders have. So it starts from the foster process where they don't even get into training to make sure the match is a good match. Our trainer is absolutely incredible, screens for all possibilities for that veteran that comes into our program. And then from there, the foster process happens. And once we realize, oh, this is a good match, they start training for the CGC, which is the Canine Good Citizen Test. And once they pass that, they get their vest, and the training for to become a service dog begins. So that dog is with that veteran or first responder from day one. Wow. They're training together, and we provide all the funds for that. So it takes anywhere between 18 to 24 months, depending on the needs of that veteran, because it's everything from, you know, physical disabilities, PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, where we cater that training specifically for that individual. So it takes a different amount of time depending on the needs. So it costs us between $10,000 to $15,000 to complete a pairing, and that all comes from Project Delta. We do the full funding for that individual.
Wow.
So that's a little history.
That's a lot of history. And the commissioner's over here. He's like chomping at the bit. He's like, I want to get in here. I want to talk about something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Alec. Yeah. I appreciate your service. Thank you for that. And thank you also for what you're doing for veterans now. So the big question, you know, you explained how you find the dogs and you train the dogs. But how does a veteran connect? If a veteran, you say, if they have post-traumatic stress and they feel a dog would be something that would help them out, how do they connect with you and apply for that dog?
So this was a work in progress over the years, and we've got it to a pretty streamlined process where they just go to our website and they apply, and from there they do an intake interview with my mother. We have certain requirements to join our program, because just as much as we want the veteran to succeed or first responder, we also want the dog to succeed, because the last thing we want to do is have to take a dog back based on just lack of performance from the veteran. So we have certain requirements, such as no substance abuse, or if they've had substance abuse issues, they're actively working on it. They're going through a mental health program. They have stable housing, and they have a vehicle that they have access to at all times. So they go through, they apply. My mom does a pretty detailed intake with them, and if we feel they are the proper match for Project Delta, that's when we are... Our trainer does a house visit. She makes sure that everything within the house is looking good, a good stable place for a dog, and then she goes on the hunt for a dog. A lot of the times we will have some in the pipeline that we think would be a good fit for that, for veterans coming up, because they show signs of they could be very good service animals. So from there, we do an intake again with our trainer, make sure everything's buttoned up and everything, and then that's where the foster process begins. But yeah, it's pretty as simple as just applying online, and then we just do our intake form and everything to make sure that they'd be a good fit for the program and could have success with what we're doing.
So we have just a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure, other than you don't want to obviously take a dog back, which would be a huge challenge to have to do, right? You spent all this time training with that veteran and the dog. Are there other challenges that you all face through this process as it relates to finding enough people to want to get a dog, enough dogs?
Usually,
you know,
the finding the individuals isn't the main obstacle. A lot of the times it's finding full-time fosters, because we always will have dogs that are candidates for our program, but finding full-time fosters to be able to take care of that animal before they come into our program is huge. And not only just a foster, but a good foster that can help those basic training elements of, you know, sit, stay, all that kind of thing. So once they're ready to come into the program, they have a good baseline training aspect. Mm-hmm. Finding good fosters, and obviously money as well, because our program does take quite a bit of funds. Yeah. Fundraising is always a massive challenge for any nonprofit organization, and because we do all the funding for the veterans, we gotta raise a lot of money to bring as many people as through the program as we possibly can. But
we'll give you an opportunity to share the website here, how people can help you out. But before we do that, I want to get to the commissioner real quick here.
Yeah, so, any program like this, of course, measuring success, you know, how do you measure success? So I'm sure you got dozens, but do you have, like, one success story that you can share with us to really show the impact of what you're doing?
Yeah, that is the hard what is the measure of success? I mean, every graduation is always a massive success. But for us, I think when we did realize what need that the police departments needed from the public, bridging that gap, creating those relationships again, when we realized that we could be a part of that, and I think we were able to place our first full-time facility dog within the Minnetonka Police Department, and just seeing the morale of that department lift, and that was massive. And it was through a dog that we had through the program for so long, and we found him the right home. He's thriving there. But just seeing the Minnetonka community rally around this dog, rally around this department, and see those relationships change within that city was... It truly, you can't put words to it. It was pretty special to see.
So, Alec, if someone, you know, just kind of touched by what's going on, the mission you have, or if they have a need and they want to apply for receiving one of these service dogs, what would you tell them to do? Where do they go?
Project-delta.org. That's where our application process is. You can donate through our website. We keep everything up to date with what everything you need to know Project Delta wise, and then follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's all there within the website. So please, yeah, if you love dogs, you love veterans, you love first responders, take a look and help us grow this community together.
Three things I think we can all get behind, right, Commissioner?
Absolutely. Anything to help vets.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Alec, thanks so much for what you're doing with Project Delta. Yeah. We really appreciate it, and thanks for joining us here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, Commissioner, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. My co-host today helping me out at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, the Minnesota State Fair, is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Commissioner Brad Lindsay. Commissioner, great conversation with Project Delta. And then Alec actually is carrying over, because as if he's not busy enough with Project Delta, he's involved in another organization, and we're going to bring in Matt Bruns from Folds of Honor. And, Matt, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, well, glad to have you. And you've got a great marketing person sitting to your right there, because I've seen him at events. And, boy, Folds of Honor has really grown from what I've seen over the last 18 months or so. I mean, it's just crazy. I see Folds of Honor everywhere. But maybe you can just give us the brief history. What is Folds of Honor, and what does it do for people here in Minnesota?
So Folds of Honor, we're a veterans organization, but what's different from another veteran organization from ours is that we support the families of veterans. Our mission is to honor the sacrifice and educate the legacy of veterans and first responders that are disabled or fallen in the line of duty.
And you're the executive director for the Folds of Honor.
For Minnesota.
Yeah, so you're all over it. Everything that's going on is something that you're directing.
Yes, I am, with a great team. You know, I started last spring in 2023 with the goal of doubling or tripling our outreach and our donations to impact the Minnesotans that serve. And Alec is one of the guys that I brought on board right away, and he's killing it. He's doubled our presence in the social media, and he's continuing to grow that. So thanks, Alec.
Yeah, nice work. Yeah.
Pleasure.
All right, Commissioner.
Excellent. Well, I am familiar with Folds of Honor. I'll tell you, the first time I ever ran into them is I like to sip on something called Sweet Lucy.
Oh, sure.
And on the back of the bottle, a part of that sales go to Folds of Honor. So right, I've helped out.
Thank you.
Many times.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that.
Oh, thank you very much for doing that. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know there was another one. I'm familiar with John Rich's.
Yeah.
Nice alcohol, or excuse me, drink of choice.
Yes,
but
I'll
look for this
very,
other one.
Very good stuff. So can you tell us, you know, how does Folds of Honor work? How do your families apply for these scholarships?
Yeah. So we have a window on February 1st of every year that goes through March 31st. And it's about 60 days, a little more than 60 days, where families apply. And then in around July, they get the notice on whether or not they've been awarded the scholarship. This last year's been crazy. So we the amount of applicants nationally has grown 46%. If you look at that from Minnesotans, it's about a little bit more in Minnesota than it has nationally. So 18,000 scholarship applicants were applied for this last year, which is 46% higher than years prior. So we have, you know, there's a time where we were raising more dollars than we were having applicants, and now we're having the adverse effect, which is a good problem to have, but there's a need and a gap that we're trying to fill with donors, and much like you just talked about the different partners that we have that support a percentage of their proceeds to Folds, that goes to the scholarships, and we're proud that 91 cents of every dollar goes toward our mission.
I think that's a big thing right there, isn't it? Where, you know, a lot of organizations get started, and maybe that ratio isn't as high And you want to make sure that the dollars that you're given, because Alec is doing a bunch of work marketing, but people need to know when they see his social media stuff that what they're going to donate is actually going to what you're saying it's going to.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of veteran organizations out there that we, not to say that, that have, you know, have really high administrative costs that, that we try to, we're a lean and mean team. I mean, we're trying to, we think that there's over 5,000 families that can apply and be awarded this scholarship. That's not including, you know, the recipients. I mean, we're looking at potentially 20,000 plus in Minnesota that could be, you know, if we get the donations to that could apply and receive the scholarship. So we want to make sure that the dollars, and we're a steward of the dollars of the donors.
Yeah, so you said that, you know, right now you've done that switch. I remember early on when I was getting involved with Folds of Honor, we were striving to get more applicants. Now you're seeing the adverse piece of that where now you need to come up with more money because you got so many applicants. So that push worked.
Yeah.
Obviously a big challenge for you, but what other issues or things are you experiencing as it relates to just kind of the operations, if you will, of Folds of Honor?
Yeah, I mean, I don't say the challenge is that, you know, how are we meeting the demands of the families and the applicants with the dollars? And there's a lot of competing organizations that are, you know, whether that are nonprofits that we also appreciate. I mean, I look at it this way. My mentor says that we're supporting the collective veteran community, and Folds of Honor is just a piece of that pie, and we recognize that, and we want all of the veteran organizations to succeed. The challenges are is how do we grow together, because that then we're all winning and we're supporting those veteran families, and that's the goal. I think that the big challenge is how do we get in front of these larger organizations that are philanthropic that don't know Folds and that want to support the veteran families and the first responder families that we're aimed to do.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, Matthew. It's a same question I asked earlier of Alec on our previous segment, but you have one story that really stands out of success for your program.
There's so many. You know, I would say this. This is a twofold. So when I started, there was one other individual that was full time, and when we looked at scaling this, I had to put a team together quickly, based off of the ask that the board had asked me to do to grow this, and so I had to be very, you know, I had to think through this of what does this team looks like. And I think that I put it together an amazing team. Alec being in the media, Rachel being our operations coordinator, and Ted being our business development director. They've done a tremendous job in a short period of time, within less than a year, of growing not only our donations from over $1 million from a year ago, but also increasing our scholarship or applicants by several hundred, which is significant. So that's a win story. But I would say from a donor story, I would say that there's organizations that have come out of the woodwork by just having a lunch with them, and they're opening up their checkbook in the wall and saying, "I'm all in with Folds." That is like those things last. We celebrate those for a long time. So, yeah. That's what I'd say. Wow.
So, Alec, I do want to make sure I get you to give us a quick 30-second answer here. But you know, obviously, you're busy with Project Delta. You got a lot of other stuff going on. Matt comes to you and says, "I want you to join the Folds of Honor team to help with marketing." What attracted you to Folds of Honor? Why can you get behind this mission?
Well, specifically with my other organization, it's directly benefiting the veteran itself, and being able to be a part of an organization that helps the families, of friends of mine that were lost overseas, along with the friends of everyone that I work with, because we're a veteran-run team, that's it right there. To be able to actually directly make an impact every single day for the people that we love. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. What about you, Commissioner?
It totally makes sense. It's great having organizations out there just want to help our veterans and first responders. So, absolutely. So, with that, what can our listeners who are listening today do to help in terms of donations and support or event attendance, volunteers, anything like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, on our website, minnesota.foldsofhonor.org is a website that you can go and you can learn more about Folds of Honor Minnesota. From a donation standpoint, from a volunteer standpoint, we're as we grow and we're scaling and we're being involved in the community more, we're looking for more individuals to help volunteer for the cause. And then just apply during the scholarship window from February 1st to March 31st, and that's the way you can get involved. So please don't be strangers and reach out. We'd love to be able to support the communities that you live in.
Now, I know that you've done a couple of fundraisers throughout the year. That's where I met Alec, was at a fundraiser raffling off three Indian motorcycles. And then you have the big summer concert event that goes on. Are those the major fundraising events that you do, or do you have other things that you're doing throughout the year to help drive people to make some donations and get involved with you?
Yeah, Doug, so I think that we have... We started those community outreaches this summer, which was great. I think that my team's probably, you know, they're really excited that we did it, but we got really tired. So we have the concert, which is in July, and then we have the Wingman Open, which is at Hazeltine in September. Those are the two major, but we have a lot of other organizations, such as College City, which is one of our College City Beverage, which is a Anheuser-Busch distributor. They are a phenomenal partner, probably one of our best. They hold the tournament for us, and we're the benefactors to that tournament. So there's other tournaments that we become benefactors for that of organizations that run those tournaments.
Awesome. Well, Matt Bruns and Alec, hey, thank you guys for coming on and sharing a little bit about Folds of Honor. And tell us real quick, website?
Minnesota.foldsofhonor.org.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
All right, Doug Wortham here with the commissioner of the MDVA. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, along with me out here at the Minnesota State Fair, the great Minnesota get-together, is the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And commissioner, you know, again, another great organization, Folds of Honor, spending some time with us, taking care of those that have served, you know, those emergency first responders too, those who have lost a family member, paying for those scholarships. I mean, what another great organization.
Important work, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of more important work too, I don't mean necessarily more important than Folds of Honor. I just mean additional more important work is the MDVA staff. A couple of people that work in your agency are here to talk about recruiting and human resources and employment opportunities. And so I've got Liz Bassani here, who's the senior recruitment coordinator, and Jen Rodriguez, the human resources person. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, good to have you here. And, you know, the time goes by really quick, so I really want to get to it. We talk about recruiting and jobs inside of MDVA all the time. Anytime we have someone on the Minnesota Military Radio, a lot of times when the commissioner does the commissioner's corner, we're talking about come and work for the MDVA. So I'm just going to ask the question, and Liz, this is coming straight to you.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I think
why
I'm ready.
Should someone even consider working for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, I guess I would say if you have a passion for supporting the veteran community and enjoy working with people from a variety of backgrounds, this would be a great place to work. A couple other things to consider is we also have a range of positions. So we're located across the state of Minnesota. We have 8 veterans homes. We have 4 state cemeteries. We have our programs and services division that is located in St. Paul. And so those range of positions include anywhere from healthcare, finance, legal, human resources, facilities management, food service, just to name a few, right? And then I would just say one more thing. As a state agency, we have really great medical and dental plans. We also have a very robust retirement plan, too. So
that's
really
the bonus. Come because you want to take care of our veterans, serve our dependents and family members, our spouses, and then there's some good benefits that come along with it.
Wonderful benefits.
Doesn't sound too bad there, Commissioner.
Not a bad place to work, I'd say. I've put in over 20 years myself. So.
And you started kind of way down there.
I started at an entry-level position, yes, in our State Soldiers Assistance Program, and the rest is history.
And who says that a former enlisted person can't be the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, you know how it is, Doug. They need an NCO to lead.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, absolutely. All right, commissioner.
So, Jen, I'll ask you this one. And this is probably the hardest question anyone ever asks HR at MDVA or probably any state agency because of FTE counts and body counts and things like that. But how many individuals in total are employed by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, we have over 1,600 employees at MDVA. Mm-hmm. better?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Just a little bit closer. There, that's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep, 1,600.
1,600. Mm-hmm. So how many positions do we have open right now?
Well, you know, as Liz said, we have over 8 veterans homes now and 4 state cemeteries and also our wonderful programs and services and central office teams. So we have well over 100 and some openings right now at MDVA.
What do you think the challenge is? Is it unique to us to fill those positions? Is it, it's a challenge right now, or is that kind of across the board?
Well, it can be a challenge. You know, I think sometimes a unique recruitment challenge for our agency is that folks sometimes think we're the federal VA or mm-hmm. the VA Medical, even though we're affiliated with those wonderful organizations. We are a state of Minnesota state agency. And also another recruitment challenge is that, you know, our locations were spread all the way across Minnesota, going up from Silver Bay all the way down to Laverne or Preston. So, yeah.
And I mean, obviously a big challenge, right? Trying to get all of these positions filled.
Yeah.
And, you know, Liz had mentioned, hey, come in, take care of our veterans, take care of our service members, support the families. There's some good benefits that go along with it. But maybe you can talk about what kind of benefits are we really talking about, right? What could someone expect if they came and worked for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Great question. I'll tell you, the state of Minnesota offers its employees outstanding benefits. We have low premiums for health care, dental. We have pension plans. We have separate vacation and sick leave accruals, paid parental leave for both parents, short-term disability, long-term disability, deferred compensation, and definitely competitive wages. In addition, these benefits are not just limited to our full-time employees. Many of our part-time positions are fully benefit eligible as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great place to work if you got a passion for supporting the veteran community and veterans in general. We've kind of got roles. So many programs in the agency and different things you can work in and specialize in. You know, where can people go to learn more?
Oh, yeah. So where you should go is our own website, so minnesotaveteran.org/careers. You'll see all of our vacancies on that particular page. You can also sign up for our monthly jobs bulletin, and that will list all of our vacancies at that time. You can sign up on our website as well. And then also, we are going to be attending some job fairs in the next month or two. So we have one actually tomorrow at the Minneapolis American Indian Center from 10 to 1. And then our veterans' homes located in Fergus Falls and Silver Bay and Preston and Minneapolis, too, in the next couple of months are going to be hosting their own job fairs on site. So they can find more information on our website about those upcoming events. A couple other things to note, we are on a couple different social media platforms. So we are on LinkedIn, and we're also on Facebook, so people can sign up for information on those sites.
And I know that, you know, we have obviously a lot of different agencies that will come on Minnesota Military Radio. One of the organizations that came in to talk to us was Eagle Group Minnesota, mm-hmm. and you're going to have a team at their September in-person event.
That's right.
Where they provide, you know, some of that mentoring and tips, and you'll be there to talk about jobs and current positions at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs then as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I can't remember the exact
I don't know the date it's in September,
one,
but those who know, know.
Yeah, right.
But one thing I do want to make sure we talk about, because we are the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs,
yeah.
Jen. Can a veteran get extra points or preference, or is there something like that for our veterans?
Absolutely. It's stated right on all of our job postings, instructions. If you are a veteran going through the veteran's preference and you feel you qualify for that, there's instructions on how to apply right on our postings. Also, recently separated veterans also will get...
get a preference.
Yeah, if they get a preference, they'll get granted an interview in the event they meet minimum quals. And that's something, too, that we just want to mention. With the state of Minnesota, another recruitment challenge is you have to meet all the minimum quals. So if you see that you've identified that you've met them, please make sure it's clear on your resume or application so we can identify and get you moving through the hiring process.
And Commissioner, you know, obviously you've been in position now just for a little while. You've seen over your 20-something years in the agency, this agency has grown quite a bit, hasn't it?
Well, I always say when I started in January of 1999...
Can you say that as in 1999?
Yes. We had 28 employees in the agency, one cemetery was just the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery, and now look at it.
And so we now have four state cemeteries, eight homes,
yes.
And then, of course, you have just other parts of the agency taking care of educational benefits, employment-type resources. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of stuff going on. And so I'm assuming, Jen, that if someone's looking for a job, there's probably something available, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we have just a wide range of positions at our agency.
Well, we just opened three veterans homes this past year. Mm-hmm. And so we are continuing to build staff so we can admit more residents. So we definitely have openings.
Mm-hmm. Well, truly across the state.
Yes.
Well, Commissioner, I mean, what a great use of our HR staff's team to be out here on Military Appreciation Day. I know that you guys are set up over here in the resource area, too.
Yep.
I hope that you get some great candidates coming by today, getting more information, and, you know, good luck filling. How many jobs are vacant right now, 150-something?
At least.
Yeah,
yes.
So there's something for everybody. And
yep.
Yeah, well, good luck. One more time, real quick, what's the website?
MinnesotaVeteran.org/careers.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Commissioner, let's get people in the door, come work for you, and we'll fill these slots, take care of our veterans and our service members. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, along with my co-host today, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Commissioner Brad Lindsay. And Commissioner, we talk about a ton of things, taking care of our service members. We had Project Delta, Folds of Honor, you know, you're hiring inside of the agency. But then there are those people, that group of people that are leaving service, and they're kind of in this transition period, and our next two guests kind of fit the mold there and help to take care of those transitioning soldiers or service members through a program called Executives Mentoring Soldiers. So I want to welcome Corey Hayes and Jonathan Dworsky here. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you. And, you know, we got a short amount of time, so I really want to get right after it. Corey, you're currently serving. I know that the light is at the end of the tunnel. You're going to be retiring soon. But you saw a gap in helping people to make this transition, so you came up with this thing called EMS. Why don't you tell us a little bit about really what inspired you to do it?
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I appreciate it. One of the biggest things that I found through the transition, I was actually going out to posts all around the country and having conversation with soldiers that were transitioning. And one of the biggest things that I heard coming back from those visits out to those posts where soldiers were struggling, trying to find a career, trying to find a way to get themselves into the civilian workforce. So a lot of times they were coming back, they'd start a job, and they'd bounce from one job to the next job. And they were getting the careers that they didn't enjoy. They just thought, this is what I can do, and this is all I can do from my military experience. So they didn't really have anybody to help them after the military has given all the resources that they can to help bridge that gap. And so we found a way that I was actually going to be able to help those service members transition from that active duty component. And I got with Jonathan here, and we had a conversation. That's where it started to stem, realizing that we could find a way to bridge that gap between those service members coming off of active duty over into their civilian careers.
And Jonathan, I know that through Corey's experience in the Minnesota National Guard recruiting, that's where you guys met originally, because you were actually leasing space
Yes.
to the recruiting office. He's talking to you one day, and you're like, I'm all in, let's do this thing,
Yep.
and you become an executive mentor.
Yep.
That's got to be just a wonderful experience. I mean, do you have, in the time that you've been involved, do you have like some success or something special that is just jumping out at you for what you've been able to see or witness?
I'll tell you something, it's really about executives collaboration. When you take a situation and you ask an executive leadership group like our Vistage group, and you say, here's the problem and here's the solution that we might want to come up with, they took it line and sinker. It was amazing. It was the energy, the collaboration, the reiterations, listening to the soldiers' needs and wants, and figuring out a meaningful way to understand how we can bridge that gap. the executives in our group, and it's really all of us that came up with the idea, the think tank around this program. And it's where we are today and how we were able to successfully onboard 90 soldiers so far.
Yeah, when you get executives together, Commissioner, they probably just start coming up with some pretty good solutions, but then you got to have a team to help you actually achieve the results or get the results that you want, which is where Corey comes in with the people he's brought together. But there's so much going on here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. You know, like you, Doug, I was a military police, and I got out of the service, and that's the area I could find a job in. That wasn't my passion, for sure, and eventually I made my way to MDVA and found my niche. But, you know, it's great to have folks mentoring and helping out. So who are the mentors that participated in this, and what do they get out of this?
That's a great question. So what we did is we have with CEOs across various industries. So this isn't just one industry. These are CEOs in our local Minneapolis and Minnesota area, surrounding area, and that have taken this probably this deployment, if you want to call it a better word. They've enlisted in the EMS process.
Yeah.
And they have made a commitment for themselves to say, you know what, they take on these soldiers, and they really listen to their alignment of their vocational capacity, what they did in the military, listening to who they were in the military, what their skill sets were, and then breaking down that barrier, that language barrier that we found, that we discovered, is that there's that missing link about who is the what's the civilian lineup, alignment with civilian vocations. So what you did in the military and how well we can align that in the civilian world. And giving them that access to a CEO as kind of our, we call it our boot camp, as our civilian boot camp training. And it's a six-week program where the CEO and the mentor gets to be a part of that mentee's process, that thinking, that discovery of themselves and who they are and how they can live a meaningful life.
Absolutely. So is this only for transitioning service members? So say somebody's been out for 5, 10, 15, 20 years even. Is that someone you can assist also?
Yeah, we've kind of opened it up. We started out really working on the transition soldiers and realizing that this is a need across the board. So whether somebody's been out for 5 years, 10 years, whether or not there's a spouse, we're starting to work with spouses as they're transitioning. And obviously here at the State Fair today, we're recognizing spouses on that mm-hmm. on that side of it as well. So getting that opportunity to start working with spouses and understand that they're part of the process too, right? They've followed their spouse around with their military career, and now they need to find a way for themselves. So we're opening it up to spouses and service members that have transitioned 4, 5 years, 10 years down the road, and they're still trying to figure it out. So we're starting to get some of the others coming in.
Jonathan, so you had mentioned this, it's a six-week program. Is that it? I mean, how do you measure then success, right? So if I still need a little bit of help after 6 weeks, maybe I'm not at the level I need to be at yet to land that job I'm really looking for. You spend more time with me, or what do you do?
Absolutely. In fact, not only do you have access to the mentor, but now you have access to all of us. And there's 48 CEOs in different industries. So once you become part of this group, you have that mentor forever, and you can always tap them on the shoulder. You can call them up, and there's no limit. We say it's 6 weeks because we feel it falls more in line with what the soldier's used to. There's a start and an end date. There's a structure around it. There's a discipline. There's an expectation. So it isn't just, it's not a loosey thing where the soldier has to be responsible and well as the CEO. And that's where we say we're going to frame it in with 6 weeks. And certainly if the soldier or the CEO want to go longer than that, they certainly can. And we've got soldiers that have created great relationships with their CEOs and their network of CEOs, and it's been really meaningful that way.
So, Corey, just a couple of minutes left here. Mm-hmm. One, where can someone go to get more information? But then two, how do you pair somebody up? Mm-hmm. Right? So how do you make sure that I get the right mentor to help me? Or is it just draw a name out of a hat? So where do you go to get more information, and then how does the process work?
So if you go to our website, to emsus.org, you'll be able to see everything that we have there. You'll go and see some of the mentors. You'll be able to research some of the individuals and fields that we cover within Executive Mentoring Soldiers. So that's a great way to go in there and check it out. And how we pair people with executives, it naturally grows. During that Connect Us event that we do with the soldiers, they're actually having that one-on-one, and the CEOs and executives get together, and afterwards when they sit down with them, they talk about their individuals that they mentored. We actually have a scaling program where they go through and they start filling out the information as they're having those connection events, meeting with 7 soldiers at a time, and then they write it down and they tell them who they want to work with because they know what they're looking for that specific soldier. So it's more on the mentor side than the enlistee side. So
do the you talk about the relationship they build. Do a lot of time do the mentors end up hiring the mentees?
Great question. I can speak to that because I did. I hired one. It's a great story and one I think would be happy if we had more time.
No, you've got less than a minute, but
okay,
go ahead.
So a soldier comes in right off of the battlefield. He doesn't know who he is, doesn't know what he's going to do, doesn't know anything other than working in a munitions plant. And he's like, you know, I don't know what I want. And he loves to work with his hands. His hobby was always fixing cars. And I'm like, well, gee, why don't you do something that's meaningful to your hobby and fix cars? He said, well, ICE engines are going away. They're going to be obsolete. He said, I don't want to become a mechanic. I said, well, listen, I think they're still making wagons, too. And last time I checked, they're still doing candles. So I think we're okay for a few hundred years on ICE engines. And so once I got him figured out, and then kind of gave him some instructions on where he can go and learn about being an auto technician, he loved it. In fact, he enrolled at DCTC. He's taken the classes. He's now becoming a second-level, master-level tech. And he is off to the races and living a very meaningful life.
And I just want to make sure that we give you the quick plug here. You are one of the oldest and largest family-owned car dealers in the Upper Midwest. What's the name of your dealership?
Park Chrysler Jeep. We've been in 67 years this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, Jonathan, thanks so much for supporting Corey and the mission. And, you know, we've met aside from this, and you definitely have the passion to continue mentoring. And I don't see this as something that you're going to quit doing anytime soon.
No, sir. In fact, we're going to do just the opposite. We've got up to 350 CEOs on deck that we're going to get in front of, and then just in the state of Minnesota. And we're going to look at trying to do this, again, as the military says, slow is smooth is fast.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take this with a very slow discipline and do it right.
Corey, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. And Commissioner, it's the end of the show. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Great all right. Show. Before we close out today's show, I want to let you know that our friends at United Heroes League would like to invite you to their Hastings campus on Friday, September 14th, for a fun-filled day honoring military families and veterans. You'll enjoy food, live music from Home Free, Rosewater, Fistful of Ladies, and Tim Faust and Friends. All proceeds support every third Sunday at United Heroes League. Go to veteransfest.com/MinnesotaMN, that is, for more information. Be sure to join us next week when we play out our second show recorded right here at the Minnesota State Fair. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.